before we get started, let me tell you about patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. There we have exclusive shows such as So Tell Me, an introspective show about my life. That's what So Tell Me is. People apparently love that show a lot. Hard Asses with Jody B. That is the show that me and Jody B do monthly that gets a little wild. The D&D Podcast, which is a show I do with my son, which is a review show of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. You get to see the other side of my son. And we have much, much more stuff to check out there. We also have a show with Mike Fowler and other things that you will just love. So go on patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. Also, shout out to Patreon producers, Ben Goodwin, a.k.a. Ghost Rider UK, Mikey Famine, and Douglas Regert Johnson. Thank you, guys. Peace. Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture to diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me this week on this podcast is a special guest, someone who has been on a while. Do not adjust your dials. This is the man, the myth, the legend, my boy, my brother, Kevin Gauthier. How you doing, bro?
Oh, DC, my friend. It's been a hot second. I've been well, sir. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, you've had an interesting few months. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it before we get there. But as always, I'd like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. Kevin, are you ready?
Oh, boy. Here come the race questions without doubt.
not this time. I have some interesting fun ones for you.
Let's go. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Question number one. We both love movies and stuff like that. Yes, and we always say that some movies shouldn't be remade. So my question to you for question number one is, what movie that it was probably a cult classic, or probably, well, let's even go even further. What movie sucked that probably should be remade?
A lot of them.
I did a
joke on my act and they go, why not reboot the shitty films like Jaws 4?
Yes.
Jaws 4 is terrible. Why don't you just have the shark eat hipsters off the coast of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and do the world a favor and everyone would love it? There are a ton of movies that they could reboot and do
I'll give you a much better
job. Okay.
Thanks to you.
Okay.
Scarface.
Oh, 100%.
I think if you were to do a modern version of Scarface now with actual Cuban people, and like not Italians playing Cubans,
right,
but actual Cuban people, and kind of like dig into the culture, it could probably be really, really good instead of the caricature that the original was. And well, to be clear, Scarface is a terrible movie.
It is. It's not good. We did one of the very earliest episodes of Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast. Gabe Dorado, you know, fresh out of Cuba, Miami 305 boy too, Dale. Yes. He swears. He says, you know what? Pacino did a really good job with the Cuban accent in Scarface. No, he swears. You're a black man. You can't make that assessment.
I live in Miami. I'm not Cuban, but I have Latino kids.
Okay.
But yeah.
Still not there yet. But
not there yet. It's kind of like I have black friends.
All right.
Yeah, Scarface is perfect for
terrible,
a movie.
Terrible, terrible, movie. Terrible.
It's a fun movie because
it drags. It's known for 3 or 4 parts. That's it. Yeah. Even Oliver Stone, who wrote the film, goes, "Man, I was coked out of my tits, and it stinks."
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of if someone wanted to write The Godfather, but if they were like 12 years old, let's just make a Godfather movie, but with just like a lot of violence, unnecessary violence and cocaine and everything. Oh, right. Look at this happening now. Like, oh, look at the pretty woman in the tits. Like, oh, okay.
He chainsawed a dude in the bathtub.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. Then you have the ending where Scarface is high and all coked up and taking like 20 shots and it's like not effective. Like people, yeah, that's what a 12-year-old thinks cocaine does to people.
You know what? Here you go. You ready? I just thought of a few. You ready?
Okay.
Star Wars 7, 8, and 9 should be all redone.
I agree.
They all stunk. And here's one for all of us 80s kids. You ready?
Okay.
Masters of the Universe.
I would like that.
Well, of course you would, because the original was a piece of shit.
It was
god awful. It was one of those, the film, the canon films, you know. By the way, I'm embarrassed to say this. I have never, until last week, for the first time, saw this movie in its entirety in one fell swoop, and that is Over the Top, another canon film. It's terrible. It really is goddamn awful.
Canon was like the GOAT of putting out piece of shit films.
except for Bloodsport, which Bloodsport was good. Gem. Bloodsport
and it was a gem. I think it was Cyborg they put out too.
Yes, they did. Also terrible. I did that on Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show podcast. It was fun. Yeah, that movie stunk really badly. I did. The Hitman is a Chuck Norris film I have not seen. I think they also did the Delta Force.
Yes, they did.
Which was the most successful film they had in canon. But yeah, Masters of the Universe, we are overdue. And speaking of that, just today, I gave season 2 a crack. The Kevin Smith Masters of the Universe season 2 on Netflix. I'm not into it. I'm not into it.
I haven't watched it yet.
I just started episode 2 and I'm finding a lot of who gives a shit. I just don't care.
I feel like they told the story in season 1.
Right. And I tell you what, I was quite nonplussed with season 1. So when I saw the email reminder comes through, like, oh, season 2 is out. Like, all right, let's give it a shot. I may be bailing out early this one.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I was hoping so.
Yeah.
Question
number 2. Let's play the fun game of my loves. Fuck, marry, kill.
I would kill.
We're going to do it with TV shows.
Okay.
I'm going to give you an easy lineup.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Walking Dead.
All right.
Breaking Bad.
All right, this is easy. You couldn't have made this too easier one. I would kill Game of Thrones. I don't give a flying fuck.
Wow! That's the one you would kill? I did not expect that.
Did not watch one episode. Don't care. And everyone said the last season sucks anyway, so okay,
it does.
I'm going to invest all that time for nothing. I'm not a dragons and wizards and warlocks guy. The Lord of the Rings films, that's where I draw. I watched the first 3, and I saw The Hobbit 3, which were fucking boring. I couldn't tell you a damn thing that happened after that. Return of the King is great. The first one is all right, and the second one stunk. That is as far as I go. So Game of Thrones, no dice. Walking Dead, I would fuck, only because I made that about 2 seasons through and stop giving a shit. I'm not a zombie guy. I'm not one of these crazy zombie guys.
Okay,
films.
That's fair.
The Dawn of the Dead films, they're all right. Those aren't bad. I think I bought them for $5 a pop when they're on iTunes on a sale.
That also sounds accurate.
And I would marry Breaking Bad because it's the greatest show in the history of television, without question. Anyone who disagrees is wrong. And I laugh at you morons who try and say that Better Call Saul was better. No, no, no. Shame on you. Be an adult. Breaking Bad, by far and away, superior and the greatest show ever made. Sopranos is great, but when you look at, and I rewatched Sopranos not long ago, there are a few clunker episodes in there, but overall still excellent. Breaking Bad had one bad episode, one, and that's it.
I will say this to your Breaking Bad argument. I watched all of Breaking Bad and even the terrible movie. Movie's I did not get through Better Call Saul.
Okay, the first season is the second season is very good. The third season is, I forgot, so subsequent seasons, they all kind of mishmash. They bring Gus Fring in the mix, and they're like, all right, here we go. So they kind of cheat with that. And they also get Walter White in there a few times, too. So they kind of cheat. They kind of Mandalorian Boba Fett it, I should say.
Gotcha.
They kind of do that to cheat. Ending was pretty good, but Breaking Bad is far superior.
I think what happened with Better Call Saul, with me at least, was it took too long for like the next season to happen. I think especially like when the pandemic happened, it took like forever in the next season. I'm like, I'm not going back to this. And it's kind of like I lost track of everything. I'm like, I'm not going back to watch the beginning to catch up with all this stuff. Nah, I think I'm just done right now.
Right.
But I almost did that with Stranger Things.
I bailed out after the first season. Didn't care.
I did not like this last season of Stranger Things.
I didn't watch. I think I did a few of season two, and I said, I don't give a shit. I don't care, and stopped.
Yeah, that one's kind of going down a cliff for me.
I never got into it. It's funny, as I got older, I go, my time is more valuable. I will stop reading books if I am not hooked in the first 75, 125 pages. I will stop watching films now. I'll go, I'll get something else on or start reading something else. So
I'm starting to get that way too.
Okay.
All right. Question number three.
All right.
What is the worst TV show you think you've ever watched?
Oh my God. There are so many. Now
there are a lot of stinking.
Are you at, so this is a multifaceted question. Is it one that I made it through a full season or all the way, or like I watch an episode, I go, this is dumb?
You know what? Let's go with got through most of the season. Okay. Like, for example, The Cape is a fucking terrible TV show.
I don't even know what that is.
Is it around the beginning of the superhero surge of like TV shows and stuff like that, or like around the time of Arrow first coming out and Daredevil, all that stuff. I think it was ABC or CBS made their own superhero called The Cape. And his superpower was he had a cape that was magical.
I liked it better when it was called Superman.
Yes, and it was terrible.
Or Shazam.
That was his power. He had a cape.
Yeah, he had a cape. That's cool. So I made it through at least one season. That's the criteria?
Yes. Or you got through a good portion of the season. Like, I have two shows. Like I said, The Cape was one, and I think it was one called Do No Harm that came with ABC, which is also a guy. It's like one of the worst shows in history.
All right, I have your answer. And this is, and I'm sure there are ones that are worse. This is recency bias. I finally gave this a crack and I said, this, I don't get it. Eastbound and Down. And I'm a baseball guy.
Oh, okay.
But Kenny Powers, that shit, I think I smirked maybe two or three times.
You know what?
Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed seeing gratuitous tits as any red-blooded American male would. But man, it was not funny. Listen, I'm the first one to have a potty mouth, for Christ's sakes. You hear this mouth. But it was just cursing to curse. And it's just like, it's a shock value. Like, again, I don't mind gross jokes. I love American Pie. I love Borat. I love all that stuff. But when you say, you know what it is? It's the Bad Santa of TV shows. Bad Santa was terrible. Terrible film. I tried rewatching that maybe a few months ago. Turn it right off again. I go, yep, I was right the first time. All it is a guy in a Santa suit just saying, fuck, and this kid's a little asshole, and whatever. Same exact thing for Eastbound and Down. He says, fuck, he says, whatever he says, nonstop, and that's supposed to get a laugh out of me. I'm sorry. I have a PG-13, you know, level humor too, just like the next dude, but my God, it sucked.
You know what? I think I have to agree with you with Eastbound and Down.
Of course you should, because you have common sense.
I watched the first season because everybody kept telling about it. Kenny Powers. Yep. It was like a huge thing at one point.
Sure.
So I was like, I watched it. I watched the first season. Like, I don't get it. I really just didn't get it. Like, I think it was like that one year where he was everywhere. Like, he was like doing award shows and stuff like that. And people just kept telling everybody was doing the Kenny Power quotes and stuff like that. I'm like, I guess I'll watch it. And I watched it like, okay, this is...
No.
It's a show.
The show that I cannot fathom, and this is an IQ test. I'm probably going to turn myself off to a lot of your listeners, but whatever. I put myself out there. I think people who love the show Friends are dumb. That show is dumb. It's for dumb people who laugh at nothing. Go YouTube Friends episodes without the laugh track on YouTube. You are going to go, what? This is truly The Emperor Has No Clothes. I never got it. My wife watches it. She's a very smart woman. And I get angry. Go, why? 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 And it's what's so funny about it? The double fisting, the what they try and say, fuck you with the fists together, the monkey. Like, it's not funny. It's not. It's just, there's nothing about it that's alluring at all. It's never got into it as a kid. Well, I guess I was a teenager, but I was in high school when that came out, and I don't get the allure of it now. You know what? Turn in my white card, I guess, then, because I hate that show. And I never sat through a full season, let alone, I don't think I've ever sat through an entire episode. I've seen enough bits and pieces to have a fair opinion of it, but god damn.
I have a funny story, an interesting story about Friends. So, when I was in college, people kept telling me, you should watch Seinfeld. You probably like Seinfeld. And my response was, I'm not watching that white ass show. That's not a show for me. So something happened. I think I was probably sick. I ended up watching like the first, I think it was the third season of Seinfeld. Like, oh, this is actually pretty good. I kind of enjoy this. It's silly. It's dumb. It is what it is. I really enjoyed it. So then they were like, oh, if you like Seinfeld, you should watch Friends. No, they said Friends.
Okay.
I watched Friends like, this is the most. First, I said, this is goddamn Living Single. And then I was like,
with the same amount of inverse ratio of black people in Friends as well as white people Living Single.
Yes. It's like, this is just white Living Single. This is awful. Like, this is really bad.
It's terrible.
It's like really bad. Like, I can't watch this show. And people have tried to get me to watch that show so many times. And every time I tell them, no, absolutely not.
I can't get into Seinfeld either. I can't get into Curb. I haven't watched Seinfeld in a long time. I tried banging throughout some Curb, and it's just the same like wash, rinse, repeat. For me. Again, it's just not for me. It's smart. But it's the same. I got myself in a kerfluffle by saying something and being a crotchety old guy, and I have a few famous friends, and that's it for every show. Now that's for you. That's fine. It doesn't resonate for me.
I think you
but Friends, I will die on the hill and say that show is for dumb people.
Yeah. I think you just don't like sitcom comedies.
I loved How I Met Your Mother for the first four or five seasons. The last two or three were shit. They stunk on ice. Angie Tribeca, hilarious. If you have not seen that.
Okay, I need to watch that one.
It's the Naked Gun and it is literally ripped out of the pages of the Naked Gun. When it comes, even the same jokes were done. I'm sitting there going, okay, well that's, and I'm finishing the lines for them, but it's still funny as shit. Like the first, every season, but the last was very good. Angie Tribeca is hilarious.
Okay.
Give that a watch. Okay. I will throw those two out of sitcoms that I really loved that are recent. Okay. Try to remember Simpsons, Family Guy, Simpsons back in the day.
Well, let's go back to it then. What's your top five sitcoms?
All right, I just gave you
two. That's question number four.
Yeah, I just gave you two of those. Married with Children, I loved.
That's a good one.
It's a great one, and I really got to think, boy, now I have to go look up greatest sitcoms of all time. Now I got to stall. Now you just can't leave.
Where's Alf on your pantheon of sitcoms?
I loved Alf as a kid. Yeah. I loved Alf.
It was so weird.
Oh, come on. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Absolutely loved that.
I'm glad you put that one in there. That's great.
Oh, love that one. They're calling Schitt's Creek. Stop it! I hated that. Turn that off after season two as well.
Didn't even bother watching that one.
No, it's white people fuckery at its finest.
Nah, not watching that.
You know what else I love too? The League. Loved The League. It's fantasy football, like four dudes, fantasy football. The last two or three seasons really suck, but the first three or four, whatever it is, are gangbusters.
That was on FX, right?
It was.
Okay, I need to check that one out.
It's excellent. Excellent. Okay. So those are rounding out the top bunch. I'll scroll through as they're calling Sex in the City. That's a sitcom. Not really.
Kind of.
SpongeBob is a sitcom? No.
SpongeBob's not a sitcom.
Oh, The Office is another great one, too.
My daughter loves The Office.
It's good. I got into that last year. Oh, and Always Sunny is great, too.
I think she liked that one, too.
Yep. All right. There you go. There are a bunch.
All right. Question number five. All the cereal mascots get into a battle royal fight to the death. Who do you have winning?
Cookie Crisp. Duh.
Cookie Crisp?
Yeah.
That's the dog, right?
It's the pirate guy, the burglar. I'm going the 80s version. Thief. Yeah.
The thief.
Yeah. What? Am I going to say Captain Crunch? Where he just fumpers around and does a bunch of shit?
I thought you were going to say Tony the Tiger.
No, he's a big, and the Rice Krispie guys, they're all closeted gay. They're not, They're not throwing down. Hey,
gay people can fight.
Listen. I'm sure there's no denying that.
They got hands. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I just don't think that those three elves or whatever you're going to call it are going to scrap like some of the other fellas out there. Are there anyone? The Trix Rabbit? Definitely not.
No.
Mr. T had a cereal. There's your answer.
He did. Yes, he did. Mr. T cereal was actually pretty terrible.
I got news for you. Most of those cereals are pretty goddamn awful.
I remember that cereal because I used to eat it all the time because I used to love the A-Team.
But
it wasn't a good cereal.
You know what else they had? They had Pac-Man cereal, which was...
I used to like that one, too.
It was not good.
It was just Lucky Charms.
Do you know what I remember loved eating? Donkey Kong, because of all the barrels.
Oh, yeah! That was a good one, too.
I like that. I like Donkey Kong. Yeah. Man, 80s and 90s are the best cereal. We had everything the best. Best music, best cartoons. That is not a discussion.
I agree.
Cereal.
Also, the weirdest sitcoms.
Oh, without a doubt. Oh,
yeah. By far, the most creative sitcoms in history came from the 80s.
Of course.
I tell people that all the time. Like, I was explaining to my kids, like, hey, we got, like, Alf, which is already a weird one. Then you had, like, Small Wonder. Then you had, like, Different Strokes, which is...
Yeah.
If you look at Different Strokes is a weird sitcom.
Sure. Especially when Dudley's getting finger popped by the bicycle guy. Well,
there's that part too.
It was always a very special episode of Fresh Prince or Different Strokes.
Punky Brewster.
Saved by the Bell. Jesse Spano's doing speed caffeine pills.
Yes.
All that stuff. Yeah. I listen. 80s, 90s. We'll fight you.
Yeah.
This millennial bullshit.
Do you remember how Philip Drummond got the kids?
I don't.
Because I was talking about this on the other episode of my podcast recently. We had a conversation about this.
I was going to make a bad slave joke. I was going to say an auction, but no.
Was it
close? Am I right? No.
Yes, kind of. So.
Really?
Arnold and Willis's mother was Mr. Drummond's maid.
I remember that.
And she died, and he just took the kids in.
As I've been known to say, that doesn't happen.
Just like, all right, these black kids are mine now. no adoption, no nothing. And then later in the series, I think their uncle, their relatives, who were well off, well endowed relatives, came back to get Arnold and Willis, and they were like, no, we'll stay with the rich white guy. Like, yo.
I remember Dixie Carter and her bowl cut ginger boy. What's his name? Danny?
Yes.
Is that the kid? Oh, my God. How do I remember this shit? And then who was Mrs. Garrett, the housemaid? Wasn't there a maid in there, too?
Yes.
Am I right with that?
Mrs. Garrett was the one who replaced Arnold and Willis's mother.
How do I remember this shit? It's amazing. Yeah, I do remember all that now.
Such a weird show. Such a weird show.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So, Kevin Goatee, why did you leave us with Gut in the Sacred Cow? You just canceled the show, didn't tell us nothing. You're just like, hey, here's the final episode.
I did tell you.
Yes, you did.
You know, believe me, I love doing that. It's just there's so much work involved. Every week, it's a Sisyphean task of finding guests, watching the film, taking notes. If Israel wasn't able to guest host, finding a guest co-host, which you aptly stepped in many a time, and I thank you for that. Then it's cutting the episode. Then it's putting up the episode. Then it's promoting on social media. It's just wash, rinse, repeat all the time. And I mean, we did some good numbers there. Was it enough to start saying, hey, I can make some real money doing this? No. If it got to that point, would I do that? Absolutely. But I said, you know what? There are some things I want to do now, which I am doing right now, which is trying to get this movie-themed game show pitch I have off the ground, as well as my Corporate America parody videos, which I just released today.
I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But
it's called Company Corporate America Horseshit.
So how did you come up with the idea of that?
I have been posting in I'm telling you, like you know, but you do know to a degree. Yeah. For all your fans out there, Delvin and I have been Facebook friends for quite a while. And I work in corporate America. I've been in medical sales for 20 years. And the shit that I have seen, have been part of, have heard, I put up my corporate America rants about how something happens and I just go off like Dennis Leary in the 1990s on MTV used to, smoking a cigarette, but I don't smoke. And a lot of people were like, dude, this is fucking hilarious. This, I go, I'm reading it in your voice. I'm seeing you at the bar with a drink in your hand, gesticulating wildly as like a fuck these people. And here's what they did. And here's why. I said, I gotta do like a collection of these. So recently, about a few weeks ago, I said, all right, now is the time to do it. So I've written up 10 little scripts. These videos are 30 to 45 seconds each. I just put the first one up today on YouTube at that corporate USA guy on YouTube. And also my Twitter is now that corporate USA guy. Look for that. And I'll put them out every maybe one or two a week.
I have a suggestion. I'm quite sure you're probably already on this. But there is this app that the hip kids are on called TikTok.
I have to upload it as soon as I'm done with
this. Yes, I was going
to
say, Reels, that apparently,
Instagram,
that feels like, that what you're saying feels like it works perfectly for TikTok.
It is. It's me having like the 1-2, like looking one angle as one character, and then the second angle as another character, and or even the third character being me looking straight in the camera, like giving you my view.
Okay.
So it's role played out by me, and I not dress up. I just wear a different button down shirt like I'm in corporate America. Yeah, I have to. That's what I was doing. I was uploading to Twitter right when we started, so I had to put the finishing touches on that. But yes, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's what I'm looking to do. I'm just going to see how it goes out. But yeah, but more importantly, like I'd said, the real reason for stopping that, gutting the sacred cow, is to get this movie game show pitch, just hammering it out. It's so much work. But thank God for ChatGPT, because it's able to help me do a lot of this nonsense and streamline stuff. And
I can imagine.
It really is. And I know this is going to be a great idea if someone were to buy it. It's a movie-themed game show that's very irreverent. So I'll have to shoot a concept idea, but once that happens, it's going to be fun. It really is.
So, well, let's talk about the corporate America one. How did you come up with the concept? What made you want to do the videos? I know you've done all, you were doing the little messages on Facebook that I remember that were very good.
Thank you.
And just one day in your head, you were like, well, it's gotten to take a cow shit. I love it, but fuck this. I kind of want to follow my passion. I think that's really cool. So how did you get to that point?
It got to the point of saying, again, it's like, hey, I love gutting the sacred cow. When Israel left, like, he did some of the work. I mean, I did the majority of the work, and he'll tell you that. So then when he left, it was like everything was on my plate. And after a while, it just kind of wore me down. But again, if anyone listening, if you have a network and want to pay advertising for that podcast, I will gladly resurrect that puppy. And it's not dead completely. Kevin Israel and I talked about coming back on just to do like a here and there episode where we'll each pick a film that we'll sit in the gutters chair that we both like, I hate or he'll hate. And then we'll do that and we'll bring it back for a couple episodes here and there. But again, it was just like, you know what? This has been fun. I've been doing it for 4.5 years and it's kind of just plateaued for now. Yet again, anyone wants to have us on the network or pay us to do it or have advertising, we are in. We've had advertisers, just wasn't enough to really devote a lot of my time to. So yes. I said, all right, we'll put it on the back burner, on indefinite hiatus, and then I want to see if these other things, ideas I have, pan out. The corporate America thing came. Thank you, I appreciate that. The corporate America thing came along because, again, enough people we kept saying, hey, this is a good idea. This is a smart idea. You're hilarious when you do it. That's how I started doing voiceover. People would tell me, like other comics would tell me after gigs, hey, man, did you ever think about doing voiceover? You got a great voice. I go, nope. But after the fourth or fifth and sixth time, I go, well, I probably should listen to these people. And did it. And now I've been doing it for God knows what, 10 years plus. Yes. Same thing with this. People are like, dude, this is hilarious. And besides, I like to try and I do things that no one else is doing. They may be obviously heavily trafficked avenues, like with Gutting the Sacred Cow. People have done movie podcasts out there, yin yang, but no one has done it like I did, where I had guests come on to pick a film that they find overrated or hate, not just come on and shit on a film or to talk about a film, great or negative. It's just we're giving avenues to people who have very unpopular opinions about some of our most popular films. Same thing with this. people talk about corporate America, but no one's went out there and go and had these rants, missives, if you will, about corporate America. They go, oh yeah, water cooler talk, blah, 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 you know, 10,000 foot view, blah, blah, blah. And I go, a lot of everything I've had so far, which again, only one video has been published as of you hear this. Hopefully when you do air this, I'll have a few more up there, but everything is autobiographical. Everything you have heard is going, has happened to me. And I've had that reaction. I'm going to expand that avenue by then kind of doing reactions to corporate America stuff. Like, for example, my friend Lynette Palladino gave me the idea. You should watch like YouTube videos on how to interview and just kind of bust its balls, rip it apart, or whatever it is that you want to do. Reaction stuff to corporate America training videos. Just stuff like that, where as someone who's been in corporate America for all these years and just sees all the hypocrisy and the horseshit.
Yep.
And the, hey, let's just demand loyalty from you guys. But guess what? The CEO is going to make $50 less than his bonus because he got caught with two hookers and has to pay off all these lawyers. Everyone's fired. Just shit like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it's going to be. It's just me poking fun at the corporate America stuff because it's rampant. Not a lot of people I have seen or have seen have done it like I have done it or have done it. So we're going to give it a whirl. We're going to see how it lands and goes, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I think the idea, especially considering how things have been going as of late with corporate America, because like we can talk about just today, PlayStation, well, they didn't announce it, but the story came out that 900 laid off. And at the same time, there was a story came out that they were like getting record profits. It's like, oh.
Right.
They were like, we're not profiting enough. So I feel like we kind of need a outlet to laugh and express our anger, frustration, to kind of get it out, and somebody to kind of express what we're going through. The common man, I feel like you can kind of feel that spot, because you know you're kind of voicing what a lot of people feel like, you know.
Yeah, I've walked on my own shoes, guys. Plenty of trips, flights across the country to some dumpy Marriott hotel, eating overcooked chicken while someone makes horrible puns in the front of the CEO or the president of sales making awful jokes and using the corporate buzzwords that are just nonstop. And it's, oh God, it's the zombie cart we call the subway in the morning in the city. It's just everyone on that same glazed over look. Like no one ever wait. No kid has ever said, when I grow up, I can't wait to be in marketing. Like, no, that doesn't.
Yes.
No one does that. It doesn't happen. It's just a means to an end. So yeah, it's we're going to see how that goes, and we'll take it from there. Hopefully someone will see this from ABC or whatever, Netflix, and go, you know what, son, you deserve a sitcom of yourself. I go, you're right, I do.
That's a good idea. Let me ask you this. Yeah. What's your process? Because I feel like Gutting the Sacred Cow was, like you said, was a very processed, thought-provoking show in terms of the work you have to put in, the editing and stuff like that. What approach you're taking to doing these clips as opposed to what you were doing Gutting the Sacred Cow?
Yeah,
to make it to streamline it a little easier.
Yeah, it's a lot more short form, which with that I have to wield a heavier sword when it comes to editing. Because again, if it's gonna be on TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff, everyone's got ADD, and if you're not hooking them early, you're not gonna keep them. So as a comic, it's edit, less is more. So I have to keep going. I mean, I've retooled this script. I have five on just this one piece of paper alone. I was retooling, like, what words can I cut out? What isn't impactful, either the setup or the actual joke itself? Like, I just keep cutting, and just streamlining that. So it's zero fat on it. You know, it's your typical filet mignon, zero fat, all meat. And that's the difference. That's what it comes down to.
So it kind of sounds like you're working on like your stand-up routine, just in a different type of way of doing it, I think.
Yeah, it's I feel so weird doing the whole like the TikTok, the hey, look at me, as my face is angled up at, looking at 11 o'clock, and then the other character I'm playing, I have to look at the 1 o'clock side and change shirts and do all that. I go, I feel so dirty. But again, it's the way of the world. And, I think I do it in a different way where it's not just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's different, but it's creative. And I think it's good for you because you're branching out and it feels uncomfortable right now, but you're taking a chance, you're taking a risk, you're doing something. I think Gutting the Sacred Cow for what it was successful. Now, thank the you. Levels of success is different. It may not be to where you want it to be at as of now, but I think it seems success. You had great guests on. You had on, had a really good run. A lot of most podcasts don't last three episodes, no less the
length of time, years.
Four yeah, and a half years. Episode. Then you consider that you had sponsors. So yeah, you kind of did your thing, Kevin.
Yeah, again, it's I'll gladly resurrect it for the right price. Believe me, nothing would make me happier than going to the studio with Kevin Israel and having my friends, you know, you included, come on. And like, all right, today we were taping five episodes and, you know, we had to watch five films and this is my job for the rest of my life for a while, where I get to sit back and go, I can do this and nothing else, and it's going to pay the bills and put a lot of food on my table and allow me to go on trips. That would be the goal. So
I agree. So let me ask you this. What were some of your favorite episodes? Who were some of your favorite guests to have on?
I didn't say you would be.
I was gonna say you can. I was gonna say you can exclude me from this because we're friends. Make sure you add me, motherfucker.
That'd be kind of hypocritical if I didn't say you, only because I had you on so many times.
Yeah,
it'd be kind of dumb. But listen, my friend Nick Carnival, his first episode he listened to and he loved was you coming on your first time and doing, Avatar was your first, Fast and the Furious. He loved Fast and the Furious episode. He loved you on that.
A lot of people love that one.
And Jaws was one of my all-time favorites because I said, this cocksucker.
that was one of my favorites because
I know.
Because of the controversy, I still get about
that. You're so wrong. It was so wrong.
It was such a great fun time because I love that there was so many people who were like really pissed off about it. And then on the flip side, there was so many people, black people, who were like, kind of right. it was such a great funny moment.
Yeah, no, Schultz, Joanne from the morning show, Dave Landau, Mike Price from The Simpsons.
Yes.
He did a lot of great. He's Mr. Fact Checker. That guy, the last like four or five episodes he did, he was just like, all right, this is a historical film and here's why it's horse shit. And just outlined how they just took beyond, you know, liberal interpretations of what happened in real life versus what happened on the screen. He's great. Don Jameson, great. Love Don. Don and you probably the biggest balls by going after some of the biggest ones. Don went after Die Hard, The Matrix. His other one he did too that was big. I know he did Shallow Hal, but that's not as big. But Die Hard and The Matrix jump out.
Yes.
You shot for the moon too. That's what it comes down to.
That's people what makes it fun ball. Though.
Yeah, David, the producer, also went for Back to the Future, that fucking asshole. Yes. I love him to death. but he's always great. So those are a lot of our favorite guests, man. Those guys and girls who constantly, his wife Juliet killed it too.
Yes, she did.
So it was such a fun time. I knew when I had like any of those people named from that group on, like I had to do so little heavy lifting. There are plenty of guests to go, oh, God damn it. Kevin Israel would text me about 30 seconds ago. Here we fucking go. Get out your boots and get out your shovel because we're going to be carrying this to the mud.
Oh, I'm aware. We've had a couple moments where it's like, oh.
Yeah, you can hear some of these episodes where we have to do a lot of soft shoe dancing to kind of make it funny because the guests were just terrible or their argument was terrible. So but that comes to there was way more good than bad episodes.
Yeah,
than that
by far. Let me ask you this. What's your proverbial Moby Dick, the one movie that you guys didn't get the touch that you're like, damn, we should have got that one. We had a chance.
The one that film that hasn't been done that I wanted to see get done or that's been. Oh, Don Jameson also went after Goodfellas, one I thought that would never be done. So
I forgot about that. Bold.
I would say the one film that I always would throw out there as an option to see, like people are like, oh, I'm kind of stuck on picking a film. And I would just throw out like a bunch of them, like Terminator 2. No one had the balls to do.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Terminator 1, obviously. Alien or Aliens, either or, no one had the balls to do. If I have to pick one, I'll say Empire Strikes Back. No one had the balls to do that.
Yeah.
Star Wars was done. Jedi was done. The Last Jedi was done. But that was, and those are the only ones I would ever allow. But the only other Star Wars film that I would allow would be Empire. And no one was like, yeah, fuck that film. Like, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, no.
I was surprised. Again, there was a lot of films in there. I thought there'll never be the Bulletproof List, I called it. That'll never be touched. Die Hard, The Matrix, Star Wars, Godfather, Goodfellas.
Jaws,
Back to the Future. Back to the Future, I thought, and that and Goodfellas probably have to top that list of like, nah, no one's going to have the balls or would ever think to go after those films. And well, here we are.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that people
were... Halloween's another one. There you go. There's another one
That's a good one.
That hasn't taken, that no one ever thought we would try an attack. So
I appreciate those who went out their way to go for like the hard ones. Like, hey, all right, even if you don't get it, you're making an effort. Like, there are certain movies that are like easy to, you know, this is, we know this movie stinks.
Like, dunking on midgets is what we called it.
Yes.
But there are some like, oh, listen, I'm glad that they're going after this one because this film stinks and I can't wait for someone to go and just eviscerate it.
Let me ask you this. Was there a movie where somebody tried to gut it and you're like, this is no way this is going to happen because I like this movie. Then when you got to the actual gutting, you're like, oh, they might be right.
That we've never changed the full opinion of like, went from like, oh, this film's great to, oh, this film sucks. It always was, this film is great. And then we watch it and we go, oh, wow, this is not holding up. And Mike Price was the first one. He did Batman Returns. I go, I love Batman Returns. You're kidding me. Wow. And I rewatched it with my daughter again, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. It is not good. I mean, it is almost embarrassingly like, whoa, it's really bad. Even Batman 89, you're like, there are a lot of chinks in that armor.
I have not watched Returns since it came out. I need to watch that one again. 89, I didn't watch. I'm like, this is fine.
First of all, the plot is just bonkers. The ending drags, and there's hardly any action in it. He's going to kidnap the kids at the very end, like, all right, we're doing this. And then the Catwoman thing, and it's just... Tim Burton did a lot of disservice for people who thought that's how the origin story started for these villains. The Joker didn't fall into a vat of acid. Oswald Cobblepot wasn't just this beast that his parents, you know, abandoned. Catwoman wasn't the receptionist that became a bad girl because she fell out of a building.
Yeah.
He told a lot. If you want the real origin stories, go watch the Nolan stuff because he gets it to a T.
I agree. I think, I guess it's just that era and that time. It's kind of like
we didn't have really comic book stuff. I mean, Superman 78, which I think stunk, and I still hate it, and Bill Schultz was right to take that down. But between that, 78, and all the Superman sequels, but Superman 2 is better than Superman 1.
I agree.
They had those bullshit Captain America, they had the Dolph Lundgren Punisher film. They didn't have any, like, Batman 89 was the first true, seriously taken comic book film. So when we got that, it's like you're on a desert island, and they're like, hey, here, you know what? Here's a fillet of fish. And you're like, all right, this is this is like steak. Yum, 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 yum. And then they bring you out, I don't know, a Big Mac. Like, this is still great. Yum, 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 yum. But then they keep trucking over food, and then they start putting on different franchises, different restaurants, like high end or even Five Guys come on that island. And you have the steak, the high end steakhouses. And you're like, you know what? That fillet of fish wasn't really that good. It was there. I was hungry. I had to eat it. It tasted great because of that. But man, now that I have choices and now that things have been really taken seriously, it's not as good. I think, kind of to your point, but Blade really turned the tide for people to take that seriously. But
I agree.
Blade, not as good as we remember it. I loved it when it came out. But man, that second half really, really
it does.
Slogs. Really slogs. Did it, I don't know, Rob Patrick did it on the STST boys. Did it. I go, man, I don't know. I love Blade. And even Ray Cicadas goes, man, you're going to doing that? Get ready for some disappointment because it's not holding up. And boy,
Yeah, that it's was different. True. I guess it's just the sign of the time. Just like as you get older, you start watching stuff like, that wasn't as good as I remember.
X-Men, same thing. The first X-Men film, you're like, all right, X-Men, finally. And it was great when it came out. Loved it. And you're like, now you're like,
yeah. All right. One more thing. Well, I want to ask you about this because I don't know if you can talk about it yet because I want nobody to steal your goddamn idea. So what is the project you're working on, the game show you're working on? Can we talk about that any?
No, I can't. I wish. It's too niche. It's not. I don't have a proof of concept out. Yeah, if I had a sizzle reel for it, where I can show a proof of concept, yeah, I would do it. But I'm very protective of it because it's so niche and original. Again, this I think it is. Other people go, that's a great idea. No one has done a movie themed game show like I want to do it. Because I'll say just this. It's not for the masses. It's more of a it's a movie nerd's wet dream. It's not Wheel of Fortune at 7:30. It's not because your grandmother is not going to get a fucking Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade reference like you or I will. You'll watch it. Yeah. I would watch it, but it's not for someone who's just run of the mill. Oh, I like going to the movies once in a while. No, this is a movie nerd game show. So that's why I'm very protective about how much I spill, because again, it's got to have that uniqueness to it to make it, I think, would be successful.
Let me ask you this then. One last question about it then.
All right.
When ideally you think we'd see something about it or get hints of it?
When I get someone who is part of a production company who wants to shoot a sizzle reel, because I mean, I shot comics watching comics out of my own pocket, which, I mean, it costs a pretty penny. Not near as much as it could be on a grander scheme. Comics watching comics, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's my show I created. It's Last Comic Standing Meets Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yes. It was a reality show for intermediate comedians. And, you know, we watch comics, intermediate comics do their material at my house, watch their footage at my house. And more tenured, successful comics watch, praise, offer advice, and shit on them if need be. We picked a winner at the end of the year. Each season winner appeared on a showcase. It ran for 8 seasons on Amazon Prime. So that's kind of my crown jewel. Filming a game show is going to be infinitely more expensive because obviously there's more bells and whistles than there are running on a comedy club, putting on a casting call for a bunch of comedians who will just show up and go, shit, I need this. I need the credit. Doing that. Reaching out to my comic friends going, hey, come to my house. I'll feed you. I'll give you booze and whatever. We'll giggle it up for 6 to 8 hours while we tape this shit. Way more expensive to shoot a game show. So I've got to find someone and partner up with them who has the connections and is willing to pony up for the production cost of shooting that, as well as getting it in front of people that would finance it. So to answer your question in a long-winded fashion, I have no fucking clue.
So there you go, people. If you know somebody who can do this, who wants to get involved, wants to make this happen, hit up Kevin.
Proven winner. 8 seasons of Amazon Prime, baby. What else do you want?
8 season TV show. That's not a common thing.
Breaking Bad lasted less than that, but Breaking Bad is way better than my show ever aspired to be. It's a bunch of dick and fart jokes with a bunch of comics on couches and making fun of shit.
People like dick and fart jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely say that. So yeah, I love to get it going. And that would be, and I love obviously my goal is to host it because who better, duh. And would love to see that baby get made. I think that would be my crown jewel is to get this movie themed game show made. Even if it's just a pilot was made, I go, you know what? I fucking did it. There's nothing else I could have done differently. And I could walk away knowing I gave it my all, if that's the case.
All right, Kevin, let them know where to find you at, brother. I know you didn't change your ex and all that stuff. So let them know where to find you at. Yeah. For those,
you can find. I got to double check next because I took my name away. I'm sure if you search at Kevin Goatee, GOOTEE, you can look at Corporate America, Corporate USA Guy is my Twitter handle, and it's called Corporate America Horseshit is the name of the reels. Probably should blank it out and change it to --, because you know the algorithm and how they're very someone said a bad naughty word.
Yeah, that is true.
We're going to have to do that. So at Corporate USA Guy is what you're going to look for. And if you like it, just do me a favor. Retweet it, like it, tell a friend. I think that's going to be the key to getting this puppy going. So if you like it, This is all I'm trying to do is just, you know, make something happen out of it.
Retweet it, share it on social, all the social media platforms to get it out there.
We're getting there. Yeah. So at corporate USA guy, corporate America, but corporate USA guy.
Perfect. Thank you for coming on, Kev. I appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate you having me, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Likewise. And as always, Devil Cock Experience, we are out. Peace.